The story of the last day of Jesus' life, his death, and his burial is just chock full of characters. We have the soldiers and the police, priests, crowds, there's Caiaphas and Annas, there's Pilate and Judas, Peter, Jesus' mother, Mary, the other woman, Mary Magdalene, the disciples are there, Joseph of Arimathea, and then finally Nicodemus returns to the story. There's also those other two nameless men who were crucified on either side of Jesus, the one whose legs have to be broken to hasten their death. There's other elements of the story. There's chaos, and there's shouting, there's confusion, and there's just so much noise. All kinds of betrayal, violence, injustice, and fear permeates. There's deep physical pain and deep spiritual pain. There's dirt and blood and tears. And then there are those people in Jerusalem who have no idea, apparently, what's going on. They've been oblivious to the struggles at the trial. They don't know what's going on the road up to the place of the skull. They have no interest, perhaps, anymore in what happens in the courts of the temple. Sometimes I wonder what those people thought about what was going on when the parade following a man carrying a cross swept up to the place of the skull, or when the weeping and the wailing came from the place of execution. I wonder sometimes if those people, the other people, were just used to it all because, you know, Rome was extraordinarily violent in how they took care of business. And I think probably just like people today, maybe just like us, when violence happens over and over and over again, when mass death happens, we become numb to it. Becomes almost normalized. Planes crashed this year. School shootings, even bomb scares like we had this week here at Calvary, become normalized, at least until it happens to you. When something horrible, or even just a horrible threat, happens to us, it's no longer normal. And all we can do with that is to tell our story about what happened over and over and to try to make sense of it. For over 2,000 years, people have been telling this story, trying to make sense of it, trying to take it out of normal. Every year, I wonder, who do we connect with? Whose eyes are we looking through this year? How is your story connecting? How is your story, your own view of this story? How will you tell it? How will you tell the story of Jesus? How do you tell the story of you? This year, I'm the person in the story who is grieving, which I think is every person in this story. I think from the men who get paid to execute prisoners, to those crowds of disappointed people, Pilate and Judas, all of the women, the disciples, and Jesus. All of them grieve. All of them are grieving. Mary, inconsolable in her sorrow. His mother. Jesus, his powerful voice and his presence that have helped and healed so many people over the past years, has lost its power with those in authority. And amidst the noise and the blood and the chaos and the dirt and the voices shouting all around him, the one voice that he must have been listening for, the one voice is missing. God's voice. God's voice, the one who spoke into Jesus' baptism, the voice that declared itself from the midst of the transfiguration, the voice that spoke through the angel to Mary so long ago, The voice that loved Jesus into life isn't there. He is deeply grieving, is our Lord, as are they all the way down to Nicodemus. Earlier this week, a friend told me that it seemed everywhere that she looks right now, there's darkness and pain and dying and fear. Everywhere she looks, she said, there is grief. And that is, of course, her life, but I know what she means. Our world is in turbulence. We stand on shifting sands. Things are changing. We probably, most of us, associate the word grief with what happens when in our own life somebody dies, and that is certainly true, but we grieve expectations and lost opportunities. We grieve perhaps our own sense of who we used to be, the way of life, the illusion that the world will always be the way that it has been, that institutions will always be the way they were when a magnificent structure like Notre Dame burns. Our grief can be triggered, and we have to step back and remember that buildings like Notre Dame burned and have burned and will burn. When we realize, if we notice, that today is the 20th anniversary of the shootings in Columbine High School in Colorado, if we remember that this week that fact triggered a young woman to plan her own violence against schools, but instead of doing violence against others, took her own life, maybe we grieve an innocence, a way of life that we imagine was there but has long since gone. When it becomes more and more clear that our earth, our island home, is being taken apart bit by bit with climate change, we can find ourselves grieving our own hopelessness, our own overwhelming sense of what in the world do we do about this, and our abandonment of the responsibility given to us by God to care for God's creation. We can grieve the way of life we thought we would always have in comfort. This man on the cross was supposed to lead us to a new world, to a new way of being, to a new land of justice and love and peace. He was supposed to get rid of that Roman violence, put away the powers and principalities, speak up to them, lead us to fight corruption and injustice, yet we still are fighting that. The man on the cross gave us hope, showed us miracles of healing. We thought that maybe when it was our turn for healing, he would still be there. The man on the cross was our brother, our friend, our son, our shining light of the world in a time of deep darkness. And there is such pain around him now. His mother, his friends, the ones who followed him right up there to the cross, are now unrecognizable in their pain. Their eyes are swollen shut with tears, their mouths open at the horror of seeing this dead body lay before them. After all of the noise, the shouting and the chaos, the blood and the dirt, after the pounding of the nails and the begging of the dying, there's silence. And into the silence of everybody, the executioners, the jeering crowds, the silence of God, into that silence comes the noise of the deep pain of being human and alive. Everybody is grieving. We see John there, Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, all of his friends gathered in a frozen moment of time, a tableau mirroring the gathering that long before had surrounded Jesus with love and hope at his birth. They stand around him. Those adults, remember the adults and the animals that gaze on that tiny baby? Now we see the picture of them gazing on the dead man, caught in a spell, cast by pain. This is human. This is real. And sometimes it's unbearable. The others are missing because they ran away. They are isolated somewhere in the betrayal of their grief. Or perhaps they went back to work. Another execution, another day, another loss of part of their soul. Only a miracle can break the spell of such pain. Only a miracle. But in our wildest imaginations, we cannot begin to even see yet what kind of miracle that might be.